The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle, he's got his man, and he's gone! Jason Swain, touchdown!
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a red flag.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Hope everyone is having a good morning on a Tuesday, March the 12th. Jason Swain here with you live from the Low T Simple Studio. My good friend Ben McKee, Govall 247. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. How are you?
It's March Madness. What else needs to be said? It's that time of the year.
The madness has been real already through the first 12 days, and it will be even more mad over these next 2 to 3 weeks as well.
Tennessee, man, collecting hardware over the last 24 hours or so. Dalt Connect, Jonas Adu, Zakai Ziegler, getting the recognition that they deserve. No surprise, really, from either of the selection, but two guys really stand out because, I mean, they were honored with awards that represent the entire conference, and that is Dalton Connect, and that is Zakai Ziegler. And it wasn't like these guys were phenomed from the moment they picked up a basketball. It wasn't like they were always in the spotlight, always the first guy picked. Both of these guys were passed up, passed over, underappreciated, doubted. But here they are, man. Defense Player of the Year, Zakai Ziegler, and Dalton Connect, SEC Player of the Year, Ben.
Absolutely. Very cool stories, all three of them, really. I guess Jonas Adu was the highest-ranked recruit of the three who earned awards yesterday. Dalton Connect, obviously, going the JUCO route, and then from 8 points a game to 20 points a game at Northern Colorado in two seasons, and then here to Tennessee. Zakai Ziegler, a late add for Tennessee, and Tennessee was planning on redshirting him until he got to campus, and they realized that he was too good to redshirt. So not only were they overlooked in the recruiting process, Zakai and Dalton, but for Zakai at least, I mean, doing what he did at his size after coming off of a torn ACL is just incredible, quite frankly. The way that he pressures the ball and is just a pest defensively is pretty remarkable at that size coming off of a torn ACL. So kudos to Tennessee for their player evaluations with Dalton Zakai, and Jonas was a fringe five-star, if I remember correctly, and was committed to Marquette and followed Coach Gainey here to Tennessee. So you knew that you had potential with Jonas, but that freshman year didn't look all that great. Sophomore year also had its bumps as well. So kudos to Tennessee for sticking with Jonas and developing him. And then, of course, Jonas gets credit as well. Not trying to say that Jonas doesn't get any of the credit. He's put in a lot of work as well. But just three remarkable stories for a lot of different reasons. And I think that's why this team is so likable, is because I think fans appreciate these type of stories more than I think that at least I do. I'll speak for myself. I appreciate the Dalton Connect stories, the Kai Ziegler story, Jonas Adu's story more than I appreciate the five-star coming in one and done and just taking the world by storm. I appreciate the blue-collar approach and kind of getting it out the mud on a day-to-day basis.
When is the battle?
What's that?
When is the battle?
What battle?
The rap battle.
Battle. It's during this next break.
I mean, I know Halloween is a couple months away, so I know you're not dressing up as B-Rabbit from 8 Mile. So that means you are B-Rabbit from 8 Mile, and you're really going to a rap battle with the hoodie and the toboggan or the beanie, however you want to call it or whatever you want to say.
Look, it was cold outside this morning, okay? It was 30-something degrees. I think it was 34 when I started my car. I don't know if you can't tell, but I've been a little stopped up the last 2 days. I didn't feel good yesterday, so leave me alone, okay? You stay in your lane. Worry about yourself. I'll worry about myself, okay?
Just get in the fudge, man. Just get in the fudge. Get all that gunk out of your nose, man. Get it out of there. I don't know what's more impressive between Zakai Ziegler winning the Defense Player of the Year or Dalton Connect League MVP. I'm not trying to, like, compare the two or, like, pin the two against each other, but, man, they both really, really cool stories. The game on Saturday, hey, man, Kentucky's good. Kentucky is good. They have been playing good, and they played really good on Saturday. I don't know who you're going to beat when the team is shooting 50% from three. Dalton Connect finally hit that 40-point mark, but it didn't really matter because Tennessee fell short, and because Arizona fell short, it still opens up the door or leaves the door open wide open for Tennessee to claim the last number one seed overall. Now, not overall, but the last number one seed out of the four. But have to do some damage in the SEC tournament. Looking forward to that. Are you making the trip, Ben? Tomorrow? Not tomorrow. Thursday?
It depends on if Baby McKee, number two, decides to go ahead and pop out. We are in full baby watch mode. The due date is the 22nd, so 10 days from now. But Wifey was showing several signs of going into labor over the weekend, continued to show signs yesterday. So theoretically, she could pop at any moment. So we'll see what happens there. If Baby McKee has not appeared by Thursday, then yes, I'll be making my way over, or maybe first thing Friday, since Tennessee does play at 12 Central time on Friday. That gives me a little wiggle room to jet over there Friday morning and catch what should be a really, really fun SEC tournament if I'm able to, just with the baby and all. But I'm really excited about this SEC tournament. I've been covering the SEC tournament for five to 6 years or so now. And in my short time covering it, and I guess I could even say watching it, I didn't start watching the tournament when I started covering Tennessee basketball. I've always watched the SEC tournament. This is as exciting and intriguing and maybe wide open of a field as I can remember. I mean, I think there's going to be absolute chaos. I mean, 1 through 4 in terms of seeding, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Kentucky speaks for itself. You could see any of those four teams making a run, but it's so much more than them, too. I really like Florida's draw. And Alabama, Florida is not a good matchup for Alabama. We saw that twice in the regular season over the last month, and I think Florida's going to beat Alabama on Friday, assuming Florida takes care of business on Thursday. South Carolina, I think we're all big fans of that South Carolina team, just in terms of believing in their potential, not the actual university that we're a fan of, but just in terms of Lamont Paris and that particular team, and in terms of what we think that they can do. And then you look at even 7, 8, and 9. I mean, those are Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State. Two of those teams have beaten Tennessee this year, and all three of those teams have flirted with getting in the NCAA tournament. So I think the field is as wide open as ever, and I think we're going to get absolute chaos this weekend, and I think it'll make for a fun and entertaining basketball weekend for fans.
Yeah, man, you got Mississippi State, LSU, and LSU beat Kentucky at home, and you know, you mentioned Mississippi State beating Tennessee, so that LSU team is not going to quit. They're not going to roll over. They're going to play hard for all 40 minutes, and so this is their last opportunity. They're going to go out with a bang, so that's going to be a good matchup. And then you mentioned Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Well, you mentioned Texas A&M, but Ole Miss A&M play. Florida, they are a team that can go deep in the NCAA tournament. They've gotten really, really good. They've improved a lot in the last couple of weeks. But you're right, man. This is going to be good. The quarterfinals matchup will be, I think, really, really fun. Like, you're going to have four really, really good games. And then the semifinals, oh, man. The semifinals might be better than maybe some Elite Eight Sweet 16 games that's coming up around the corner. So, man, this is the gear, man, to really tap in, dive in with SEC tournament basketball. And looks like Tennessee, if you win two, man, I think it should be a number one seed. But why leave it to chance? Go ahead and win the whole damn thing. Go ahead and do it.
I completely agree. And look, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Swain. In terms of it relating to Tennessee, let me know if you feel this way. Maybe we can come back on the other side of our first time out and discuss it. But yes, I think it would be great if Tennessee won the SEC tournament, obviously. That'd be a heck of an accomplishment, especially when you can say you swept both SEC titles this year. But if Tennessee loses even on Friday, or we'll even say Saturday, to like an Auburn or a South Carolina, who cares? Like, honestly, like you already won the SEC championship, which I've said a million times. I think that's more impressive doing that than winning the SEC tournament, because right, the SEC tournament, a team can get hot, yep, and play well for 3 days, and that's an accomplishment. But I don't think that's as difficult of a task as winning your league over 2.5 to 3 months. So you've already won an SEC title, the more impressive one, in my opinion, and it gives you an extra day rest going into the NCAA tournament, because we know how this team is going to be defined by what they do in the NCAA tournament, not what they do in Nashville. It'd be great to win it. I'm not saying sabotage yourself and tank and do all that. Go try to win it. But I'm just going to kind of shrug my shoulders if they lose on Friday and Saturday, to be quite honest.
I mean, for Tennessee to win the SEC tournament, you would have to play 3 games back-to-back. And obviously you would have to win. And Tennessee went through a brutal stretch in the last 4 games of the season. But you had days in between that to prepare, to rest, to do rehab, to do your maintenance on your body. Like, you had time. You don't have much time here. 3 games back-to-back, that is difficult. I remember when Texas A&M played like 4 games back-to-back. And, man, they were so likable, and they did not get in the tournament. And it was so unfair because they had made a great run in the SEC tournament. But they were just out of gas when Tennessee won the SEC tournament. Like, they had nothing left in the tank. Now, it looks like if you play Sunday, the first round, what, end of the week or so from
that was the point that I was about to make. Obviously, we don't know if they play Thursday or Friday, but what if Tennessee gets that number one seed and they get shipped out west and they play on Thursday?
Yes.
All of a sudden, you're talking about playing three games in 3 days this weekend in Nashville against physical competition after you already just had a physically demanding 3 weeks. Yeah. And you went on Sunday, you watched the selection show Sunday night, so you're either coming back late Sunday to Knoxville or first thing Monday, and then you turn around on Tuesday. If you play Thursday on the West Coast, you turn around Tuesday and leaving. I mean, that's a lot of wear and tear going into the NCAA tournament, which is why I think it wouldn't be the end of the world if Tennessee bows out early. It'd be disappointing. And again, I'm not at all saying tank the SEC tournament. You want to go win that. It would still be a very nice accomplishment. I heard Rod Clark on with John and Vince on Monday morning talk about how they're not going to Nashville for a vacation. They're going to Nashville for business and looking to take care of business. So I'm glad that they had that mindset going into it, but it's not going to be the end of the world if they lose. Nope. I think there would actually be some benefit to it.
Yep, it will be benefit to it. 865-255-03, the Beatty Chevrolet text box open for you. Send in your questions, your comments on the free Swain Event app for Android, Apple devices. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Center studio. Stay with us. Be right back.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
You don't say.
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Yeah!
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Oh, thanks to Ben for hopping on Josh Swain yesterday. Dropped some baseball and basketball nuggets. I'm just not upset like some folks are trying to force themselves to be about Saturday's game. I wouldn't be upset if we fell short in a tournament, depending on how the game went. I think if you're on this team as a player, as a coach, the mindset is to win them all. Duh. Like, that's the mindset. That doesn't mean that has to be our mindset. We can look at the benefits of having extra days to rest. And I know one thing, if Tennessee wins the regular season championship, which they already have done, and then they go on to win the tournament championship, and then they don't make it to the Elite Eight, it's going to be a failure. The season's going to be a failure.
Absolutely. I think, well, first let me make one last point on the SEC tournament. The reason I say that I would be perfectly fine with Tennessee losing on Friday or Saturday, it's because they already won the SEC regular season championship. Yep. If you had not won that, then I would not have that opinion. Yep. Because I do think winning a SEC championship, whether it be the regular season title or the tournament title, I think that solidifies how good of a team you were that particular season and your legacy to a certain extent. It doesn't determine all of your legacy, but I think that's something that you can really hang your hat on, quite frankly. So that's why I say that, because they already have an SEC championship locked up. If they had not done that, then I would be saying that they need to go win the SEC tournament to fulfill its potential, quite frankly, and to still, at this point, view the season as a success, because that is one of the main goals. And I've talked about it before. I hate how we're getting away from the importance of conference championships. They should still be meaningful, and it feels like, and maybe not as much in college basketball as it does with college football, but it feels like we're getting away from conference championships meaning something, because there's so much talk about college football playoffs and getting to the playoff and basketball, the NCAA tournament, so on and so forth. So that's why I say that. But I agree with what you said about the Elite Eight. I mean, if Tennessee wins the regular season championship or wins the tournament, they win both and they don't make it to the Elite Eight, that is absolutely a failure. And just off the top of my head, not knowing what it looks like, but I think getting to the Elite Eight is the minimum threshold of success. Like, if you bow out in the Elite Eight, then yeah, you're still disappointed that you probably didn't make it as far as you should have, but it's the second ever Elite Eight in program history. That is nothing to scoff at, and like I don't think you can criticize that, at least not for me. I understand that others may feel differently, and some probably do feel differently, but to me, the Elite Eight is the minimum threshold of not being able to call this season a failure. I hope that makes sense the way I worded it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I get it. And you have to factor in that there's a lot of fans that love football and project their dislike for the game of basketball when they are giving opinions on this basketball team. Like, I was watching the game, and I don't know why I got on Twitter during the game, because
a big mistake, buddy.
Everybody's emotional on there, but I saw someone was like, I'm done. I was like, it's the first half. Like, really? Oh, okay. Like, oh, all right, man. It's just weird stuff, man. Just weird stuff. Vol in Birmingham on the Beatty Chevrolet text box. Pro tip, Ben, stay home if he goes in labor and you are at the basketball game in Nashville. You will never live it down, brother. LOL. Amazing. Go ahead.
Mm-mm,
go ahead.
I was going to say that there's some tough decisions coming up. Man,
stay your butt home. Amazing Vol, a whacker guy, says, I hope we win the SEC tournament, but I don't want Kentucky to, since they won their Super Bowl against us. Ooh, I like it. Man, you pay the bills over there? Turn the lights off for.
My lights are on. Ain't nothing changed.
Jeffro says, rap battle. And then, no, Jeffro, Ben's not going to a rap battle. Why is the SEC so bad at officiating best conference and we get Pat Adams and that ump from Sunday? Well, in basketball, there's not, quote, SEC officials. There are officials that call games all across the country, and you so happen to get an official here and there. Now, they do have ref rankings there on KenPom, and as much as we do not like Pat Adams, out of 100, out of 200 officials, Pat Adams is ranked number 20.
Which is more of an indictment on the state of refereeing in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, hey, maybe so, but...
No, Pat Adams is actually I know this sounds crazy, but he's actually a good referee. It's just that he doesn't necessarily handle the flow of the game well and likes to make it about himself at times. In terms of, like, blown calls, see, he's on the shorter end. He doesn't make as many as his peers, as hard as that is to believe.
There's no worse officiating crew than the officiating crew that did the Lady Vols game when LSU played here, that missed a blatant double dribble, and then against South Carolina in the SEC tournament when they missed a blatant double dribble again. And we know what happened after that. We didn't play much defense and expected a person with a college scholarship to not make a wide open shot.
Speaking of the Lady Vols,
that makes no sense at all. But anyways, officials have not been good across the board in crucial situations where you're supposed to watch the ball in the open court. How do you miss someone blatantly double dribble like that? Like, I don't get that. Go ahead, Ben.
I said, speaking of the Lady Vols,
I know what you said.
Saturday was shameful.
It wasn't good.
What?
It wasn't good.
No.
No, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't good at all. I mean, the fight back, the claw back, that was great. That was fantastic. The awareness, the execution was bad at best. So I don't get it, but now it's time for the tournament, and you only got one game to slip up before your season is over. So you gotta go get it done now. I mean, it's just really that simple. You gotta go get it done. 865-255-03. 44 Vol have orange and white tickets went on sale yet. I know only 10,000 fans are going to be allowed in. Just wondering if there's an update on it. Thanks, guys. Go Vols. Yeah, the priority people are going to get those emails and that communication first on those tickets. And then once that process is completed, I think it's going to be more information about how to get those tickets. Clay says the officials missed a out-of-bounds call. Yeah, man, it was a bad miss. I know Antonio Reeves doesn't wear a size 7.5. Probably wears more like a 14 to 15. How do you miss that big old foot out-of-bounds? Nathaniel says, I hate to bring it up, but the Lady Vol game was something, wasn't it? It was something. It was awesome, man. The ending was awesome until the final ending. Like, the comeback was awesome. The fight, the execution, the passion. But when it came time to make free throws at the end, your starting point guard should be able to make a free throw out of two. And then three people guarding five, and two people just not even guarding anybody. I don't get that. Nelson from Jackson says, Ben, do you have your Russell Wilson jersey yet?
No, and leave me alone.
Here we go. Here we go. Steeler Nation.
Shut up.
Let's weld.
You worry about your own football team.
Let's weld.
I've come around to the move only because they are paying him nothing. They're basically getting him for free.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You getting caught up in the wrong stuff here. This is what I know, Ben. Russell Wilson played better than your starting quarterback did last year.
And no, he did not.
Excuse me?
He did not. Russell Wilson is not the same Russell Wilson of the past.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say he was the same.
Kenny Pickett was not good. He was not that bad. I can assure you that.
Ben.
Swain.
How many quarterbacks did the Steelers start this past year?
One. Or, well, until Kenny got hurt, it was one.
Okay. And then he got
Mason
hurt.
Rudolph.
Okay.
Took over after Kenny Pickett got hurt. The door was open for Rudolph and even Trubisky there for a minute because Kenny dealt with two separate injuries. He had the ankle injury, and then he had a concussion. That was the only reason the Steelers made a quarterback change.
Did Kenny Pickett throw for more touchdowns and have less interceptions? I know he had the injury, but Russell Wilson had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Like, I understand he played poorly for the Broncos under Nathaniel Hackett, who was a terrible head coach. And I get how it looked when Sean Payton was crawling up his butt on the sideline. I think he was doing it on purpose because he was trying to get Russell Wilson to snap back so they can go ahead and hit him with conduct detrimental to the team and not have to pay him. And Russell Wilson just sat there and took it because he know, you ain't messing up my money. I'm going to still get paid.
Yeah, because he has money issues.
But he still threw 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. If he does the exact same, that will be better than what Kenny Pickett probably would have done last year. You just don't want to listen to any future, man. You just don't want to wrestle on your team.
Are you done? When are you going to get to the part about Russell Wilson's teammates hating him? When are you going to get to the part about Russell Wilson and his receivers hating him? When are you going to get to that part?
He's going to be a changed man. He was given too much rope.
What do you think it says that the Broncos are willing to pay him $40 million to play for somebody else? What do you think that says?
All right, you got a point now. I can't wait for that.
And I just said I liked the move. I my initial reaction was WTF, but then when I saw that they were only paying him the vet minimum for $1 million, basically for free in NFL terms, I was okay with that. I mean, again, and I'm not saying that I believe in Kenny. I have very little confidence in Kenny, if at all. I still think there's a glimmer of hope, but I don't feel confident in him getting it turned around at all. I don't think that he's going to turn out to be a franchise quarterback, but I do think there's still a little bit of hope left. So I don't mind them bringing in some outside competition. Especially at that price, and hopefully Russell Wilson can look like Russell Wilson again for a season. But if you're trying to roll with Kenny again, I just don't know that. Hopefully he views this as competition and doesn't allow this to shake his confidence, because that was my initial thought was, what does this do for Kenny mentally going into year three, and you're bringing in somebody as big of a name as Russell Wilson?
Gotcha.
That was my only thought. But $1 million for that guy's resume, I'll take it all. It's a low risk, very high reward move, and I'll sign up for that all day long.
All right, let me move on, man. I just wanted to get you riled up. You know what? I blame Nelson Jackson. I'm not taking any responsibility. Brian Hunsucker says Swain, you should have known better than to check DR Vols' Twitter account during the game. No, it wasn't DR Vols. DR Vol on the text box said that he said he is. I'm trying to look for it. I just saw it. Oh, there it is. He We are going to the Final Four. I believe, like they say on Facebook. That's what they say? Said I believe is volleve.
Apparently.
Okay. Like, Final Four is very, very difficult. I think this team can do it. I think this team can win the whole deal. But I believe. I don't know about the whole volleve stuff. Tina R. says she got her email for the Orange White game. And she bought two tickets. And she wants to give them to us to give to someone that can't get tickets. So she told us to just let her know how. Well, my email, swain@swainevent.com. Shoot me an email or just send me a DM or a tweet. Well, anyways, that you want to reach out, works for me. Jeffrey Morris says, I was planning to ask you what you think of the future of the Lady Vols basketball look like.
Time for break. That'll do it for today's show. We'll be back Thursday, 8 a.m.
There are programs on campus, football, men's basketball, ladies, ball softball, baseball, that I feel good about pursuing a championship, and I don't feel that way about the Lady Vols. But I support. I've been to a game. I will continue to support, but it is not a championship product. It's just not.
No, and my biggest thing is I'm tired of all these people who are giving out moral victories. This is the Lady Vol basketball program. Tennessee women's basketball. Pat Summitt, one of the greatest coaches in all of sports in history, has a statue across from the stadium, the arena, and Pratt Pavilion, the practice facility. And people are out here thinking that it's okay that they lost by a couple of points to the LSUs of the world and the South Carolinas throughout the season multiple times. This is Lady Vol basketball. It should be one of the top 5 to 10 programs, teams in the country every single season. Fighting back after being down early and then losing because of poor coaching is not acceptable. It's just not. So I don't know why so many people within those who keep up with the Lady Vols, whether it be following the team as a fan, whether it be covering the team as media, I don't understand why we continue to give moral victories to the Lady Vols. That's not the standard that Pat Summitt established. It's not. They should be competing for championships year in and year out. And right now they're not doing that. They're not coming close to competing for national championships. And they should be doing that with all that they have to sell. And there are many issues going on with the program in terms of roster construction. You sign one top 100 player over the last 2 years. How are you the Lady Vols and you have one top 100 recruit the last 2 seasons? Can somebody explain that to me? How is that possible? That baffles me. And, you know, they've been good in the transfer portal. Rakia Jackson has been phenomenal. They got the kid from South Carolina who will be able to play next year. But you have no foundation for a roster. Your guard play is atrocious at times, quite frankly. There's no sense of anything being run. I mean, I know I'm not a basketball coach and I'm far from it, but it's like it's just give the ball to Rekia and everybody else get out of the way. And that may help you against the Vanderbilts and the Missouris and schools like that. But giving the ball to Rekia ain't going to do you nothing against LSU and South Carolina and UConn and the teams you're trying to beat to get to a national championship. So I really do hate the situation because I think Kelly Harper is a phenomenal person. She is a very sweet person. She's a former Lady Vol guard, obviously, who led the team to multiple national championships. I hate that the situation is what it is because I really, really would like to see Kelly work out. But right now it's not working out. They're poorly coached game in and game out. And the roster management has been atrocious over the last couple of seasons. So I don't know whether or not to give her another year because she is a former Lady Vol, but what's going on right now isn't it. It's poor coaching and it's poor roster management. And I don't foresee that changing out of nowhere, especially when you haven't done anything on the recruiting trail in the high school ranks for the last two classes.
Jeffro says, Swain looks so uncomfortable listening to Ben. Yeah, it's difficult. Not listening to Ben, but the topic matter, because it's tough when you have someone that shares the same passion as you as a former player about Tennessee, and to see them not reach the bar and not have the success that we thought she was going to have is it's tough. I mean, I think her reaction said it all when Cardozo made that shot. I mean, it really said it all. So when Coach Fulmer was AD, and you know, I was hearing some of the things that was going on. Yeah, I mean, it made me sick to my stomach because I knew, like, oh man, this legacy is about to be tainted here. It's about to be tarnished. It's going to impact how you feel about maybe your school. And I've seen, you know, guys like Terry Fair coach here, and Jay Graham coach here, and T. Martin coach here. And they didn't have to come back after leaving. They were in a good spot, but they came back because they loved this place. I know Kayla was in a different position because she wasn't necessarily coaching at a big-time program. Was let go before that. And so, like, it was a step up for her, obviously. But, like, when a former athlete comes back here to coach, it sucks when they're not successful. It sucks. It really does. And so
and we're about to find out how much Danny White cares about women's basketball, I think, because it's easy to turn the blind eye to women's basketball with what the football program and the direction that Josh Heupel has things headed. Rick Barnes, Tony Vitello. I mean, I think it'd be easy to put the Lady Vols on the back burner. And I hope that doesn't happen because, A, that basketball program deserves much better than being put on the back burner. It should be one of the women's game. I know this is difficult for people who don't enjoy women's basketball to understand, but the women's game is in such a healthy spot right now. And there's so many tremendous storylines throughout the sport with what so many programs are doing. And the Lady Vols should be one of the programs in that conversation every single year with UConn, what Iowa is right now with Caitlin Clark, Carolina, LSU and Kim Mulkey, Stanford, so many teams on and on and on. And right now, aside from the logo, the Lady Vol basketball program is irrelevant. And they are on the back burner nationally. And I hope that the athletic department, with everything going on, with so much other success on campus and so many facility projects going on and capital projects. I hope that they don't get put on the back burner, because that would be the easy thing to do with everything else going on. And so I think we're about to see just how dedicated Danny White is to getting this thing corrected, because I think the easy way out would be to give Kelly another year. Maybe that's unfair of me to say, but I don't understand how you can watch the current product that hasn't changed over the last 3 years and say that's where this program, one of the country's elite, should be headed.
Yeah. I mean, fair comments. Did you know football practice starts on Monday?
It does. I'm excited. It's Nico time in Tennessee. I hate that. Gosh, this time of year is so busy. I can't believe baseball starts conference play this weekend in Tuscaloosa. The men's basketball team playing for a national championship, and football practice getting underway. This time of year is so difficult to juggle all three at once, but I am excited to get out there and watch some practice. I don't know how much I'll be able to watch with this baby on the way, but a lot of interesting storylines for this football team heading into spring practice, and I'm excited to see how they sort out.
Yeah, who's going to go? Who's not going to go? Like, who's going to be healthy enough to practice? Who's not going to be healthy enough to practice? Who actually is healthy but doesn't really need to prove anything to the staff? There are some guys that don't need to prove anything, but you have a new coach. So you need to go. I mean, this is now Dylan Sampson's room. He has a new coach, and Darrell Sims. You have a linebacker group that's young in terms of Tennessee experience. I know Keenan Peely is about 37 years old. He's played a lot of football, but like, he hasn't played Tennessee football in a game. He only played one. So, and they have a new coach with William N. So you have to kind of balance and figure out who needs to put in a lot of work during the spring, who maybe doesn't, because they got beat up a lot during the fall, and you don't really need this guy to prove anything. I mean, I think about guys like a Cooper Mays, even though it's important that the offensive line is working together with their new starting quarterback, and then you have Lance Hurd working in. So it's not one of those situations where, like, all right, well, this guy doesn't need to go. We'll just let this offensive lineman just take a couple breaks. No, the more you play together, the better. It's not like a receiver being out or DB being out or a linebacker being out. Like, it is really synchronized swimming when it comes to the offensive line play. So, very, very important that these guys, especially, they've been paid to come back. You ain't been paid to sit and watch during spring. We better get our money's worth. You better get some reps in and make sure that we're ready to go. And the chemistry is on point for this football season. So a lot of, I think, resources were invested to make sure that we had a experienced group, a group that physically can be able to compete. And how much time are you really going to sit out and not play during the spring? But it is still a good time to get rest. So you got to balance that if you're Josh Heupel and the rest of the staff. Excuse me, rest of the staff. Let's go back to the text box. Do you think we lose our receiver or two since we have so many bodies in the room? In terms of the transfer portal, I wouldn't be surprised if you lose a player or two from that room. I think it depends on the progress of the newcomers. Like, if the newcomers come in and like they blaze in the trail and they getting first team reps at the end of the spring, some of those guys that have been here multiple years may see the writing on the wall. But if the guys that have been here look better than the newcomers, then like, you're not going to probably leave. But then those newcomers can have a big summer big fall, outplay you, then you kind of stuck. You wind up having to hit the portal in the middle of the season, which is not a good look at all. All right, 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Ben McKee, GoVols247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Center Studio. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue and restaurant in America. Be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. But the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Hey there, Swain Event fam. If you're currently renting and just about priced out of your place, give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-257-7897. You may be able to buy a home and have monthly payments less than your rent. And wouldn't you rather pay your own mortgage than someone else's? Hope to hear from you soon, and go Vols!
You lit, lit.
I'm not just talking, Ben. My present to you, Ben McKee, is going to be takeout from Dead End Barbecue. I got you covered, man. You about to have another baby. Not going to want to cook. I got you covered. I'm going to bring the McKees a to-go order from Dead End Barbecue. I got George Ewer, the owner of Dead End Barbecue, with us to verify that we're going to do that. We're going to make that happen for Ben McKee. I promise. George, good morning.
Morning. How are y'all doing this morning?
Man, we are fantastic. Up, fantastic.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll just let y'all know, we can talk about the kid later. I want the Mac Attack. I want the Bernie Mac. I want some wings. I think I need some ribs. And the wife likes the pulled pork. That's what we get. That's what she gets every time we go. I think I need I said chicken and pork and ribs. You can't eat all that. Just a little sample of everything would be nice. The tachos.
You can't eat all that.
And don't forget the banana pudding, right? Or the pond gap pie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll take both, yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Hey, George, we brought you on today because there's a huge event taking place in Knoxville, May the 18th, and it is the Ultimate Bologna Showdown, presented by Dead End Barbecue and M. Hill Bologna. And this is like an eating competition, George. Like, we see it all the time on TV with, you know, Nathan's Hot Dogs, but out of all the places in the country, in the world, there's an eating competition coming to Knoxville, and it's going to feature some big time competitors.
Oh yeah. So, you know, we wanted to announce it on your old show. This is the first time we really publicly announced it. We did a little teaser on social media, but I went up to New York July 4th and watched the hot dog eating contest and said, you know, why can't we do with something like that in Knoxville? And I started thinking about, you know, you go through and you look, Memphis is barbecue, Nashville's hot chicken, Chattanooga's moon pies, you know, what's Knoxville? And I said, why can't we be bologna? We got one of the greatest bologna companies in America, Elm Hill, right down the street in Lenore City. And I love bologna, and we've been smoking it since we've been open. And I said, let's just do a bologna contest. So I contacted Elm Hill, and they said, we're in. And then the next thing was to get a hold of Major League Eating, which we've been working with them since August of last year. And just it's an amazing process once you get in and start trying to figure out what all takes place in here and what you got to do. I mean, you got to get ambulances that dislodge food. It's all these details. And it's like, you know, they give you like 10 pages of detailed information that you got to adhere to. So we went through and worked everything out. And, you know, we got 15 eaters. We put it out to the public in the first part of January. And in 2 hours, we had 15 eaters sign up. They told us that we might get 8. Out of the top 9 in the world, we have 7. Out of the top 44, we have 10 of those eaters. And then we have 5 that are not amateur, but have not been ranked yet. But one of the guys that's not ranked is Mayor Jacobs. He's going to be eating. You know, we started this whole process. And once I said, let's do this, I contacted like all the dignitaries in town, political, and, you know, and hey, would you all be part of this? Come up on the stage. We'll talk about it and so on and so forth. And Mayor Jacobs said, you know, he would. And then I contacted him. I said, you know, we need to get a belt, the bologna belt, you know, for the champion. I said, tell me who your WWE guy is, you know, that makes your belts. So he hooked us up on his text chain. We're texting back and forth. The guy's sending me pictures and everything. And next thing you know, we finished the text. My phone rings and it's him. He's like, I don't think I want to be a dignitary anymore. I want to be an eater. I'm like, dude, you're going to be eating like with Joey Chestnut. You understand that? Yeah. And he's like, I understand. I've never lost an eating contest. I said, these guys are like professionals. That's all they do is eat. Like, that's all they do, Glenn. No. I've never lost one, and I'm going to win this one. So anyway, the next call we have with Major League Eating, I'm talking to George Shea, the guy with the straw hat that does the 4th of July MC, which will be our MC as well. I told him. And actually, his wife is the head content writer for WWE. So he's all excited, and it's just going to be a blowout. We're working with ESPN Plus right now. I've had some conversations with some other people about, you know, broadcasting it. We should know more a little bit later on this week, but I think we're going to be on some type of national streaming mechanism. So it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, that's exciting. MajorLeagueEating.com is the website. The contest, again, for those that just now joining us or missed me mentioning it, May the 18th, it's going to be right here in Knoxville, Saturday. The contest will take place at noon at the Rec Sports Field Complex there, 3620 Southern Avenue. Total prize purse, $10,000, $5,000 for the first place winner, $2,750 for the second place, $1,300 for the third, and then $550, and then $300 for fourth and fifth place. And then, George, you mentioned Joey Chestnut is coming, like the most famous eater of them all. Like, who beats
16-time world Nathan Hot Dog champion. He owns 55 eating records, world records. And then Jeffrey Esper, he's the number 2 eater in the world. He'll be there. Nick Wary is number 4. His wife is number 3, but she's not going to come. James Webb is number 5. He's from Sydney, Australia. Gideon Ogie, He's number six. He's from Murrow, Georgia. He actually holds a world record right now for the most bologna. He ate 2 pounds of bologna in 52 seconds.
What?
This is going to be an eight minute eating contest. So we're hoping that at least, you know, these guys in the top 10 are going to be in the 10 pound range of eating. So, yeah, we got Derek Henderson. He's number eight. And Patrick Bertelli is number nine. George Chigger, 21. Matthew Rebel is 34. And Renee Reuter, the only female that we have in there, is 44th in the world.
So are you saying that anyone listening could sign up to compete and be an eater against these folks?
No. So we're not doing an amateur eating contest. But the guys that are not ranked are professional eaters.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you do the amateurs, you know, you don't make sure that people don't get sick.
Gotcha.
And something happens. So and nobody wants a liability for that.
No.
And so Major League Eating said they don't recommend that at all.
Yeah, you got to have experience to do this. Got to have experience.
So, I mean, so, you know, hopefully this is our first one. We're, you know, we're going to be more after that. It's going to be a continuation. They want to build this thing to be bologna, the ultimate bologna showdown. And we're going to have a bologna festival eventually on this as it continues to grow. But it's, I mean, UT Sports, Rec Sports have been great to work with. You know, we called them up and they're like, man, this is great. And everybody's excited about it. And everybody wants to volunteer to help us out. You know, it's free to the public. So and no charge. So it's, I would say get there early because it is going to be jam packed. You know, we're expecting at least hopefully the first year, you know, about 2,000 or 3,000 people. It's going to be crazy.
Well, George, man, thank you for coming on this morning to share and kind of breaking the news about the Bologna Showdown event, the ultimate Bologna Showdown event presented by Dead End Barbecue, taking place on the 18th of May. More details there at MajorLeagueEating.com. George, I'll be over there Dead End. Got to get Ben hooked up with some Dead End Barbecue.
Yeah, Ben hooked up.
Yeah, man. We got to get him hooked up because baby awesome. Number two is on the way.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate y'all letting me on here. Talk a little bit about bologna and everything, and appreciate everything you all do for us.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right. See you. Dead End Barbecue own George Ewart here with us on the Swain event. I mean, man, you talk bologna all day. That's all you do is talk bologna.
Well, I learned from the best in you. I just want to know, I know that there's no amateurs involved, but I want to know how we can get you up there on stage.
Nah, man.
Chowing down on some bologna.
Nah, I'm good. Nope. I could not
you
do
deal
that.
With bologna all day long, so why can't?
You're right about that. You're right. You are correct, my friend. Nelson says, Turkey Man says, wish it was a nanner eating contest. Oh, we know who would win that. Turkey Man would win that one. Turkey Man, sure.
I would.
Nelson.
If there was one food that you think you could win in a food eating competition, what would it be?
I mean,
and we'll say not against professionals because they've trained to eat anything, but against like you and like your two friends that you have, what would you feel confident in winning food eating competition?
I can't eat like that anymore, man. It's not like we're going out to the strip and partying, and then you know you get that meal after the club ends, and then you can smash anything then. But I guess it would probably be like wings or something. But after about 10-15, like I'm good. I can't do much more than that, man.
I think I could do Oreos. I can down some Oreos.
Yeah, you got sweet too, so.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Neela Mafia, hold up. There's a WWE style belt for bologna. I'm in. Yeah, he's in. He's in. Jeffro says he gained about 2 pounds listening to the discussion. So Nelson from Jackson says, I vote for Big Orange Mac and Triple OG. yeah, big thanks to George for coming on and sharing about the baloney competition. That's going to be pretty cool, man. A lot of people hitting Knoxville, and I think this is going to be a thing that continues to grow and be a huge deal in the future. 865-255-03. Baseball this weekend at Alabama.
Boo.
You have the SEC tournament starting for Tennessee. It starts everybody else tomorrow. Vanderbilt in Arkansas. Arkansas has been playing a whole lot better as of late. Had a good lead against Alabama and kind of peed down a little bit. But they've been playing better as of late. And so I anticipate Arkansas to beat Vanderbilt. And then the Arkansas-South Carolina game should be a good one. Missouri, Georgia tomorrow. And then Tennessee is slated to play Friday between LSU or Mississippi State.
Question.
Yes, sir.
What is Nate Oates talking about down there in Tuscaloosa?
Dude, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up early in the show and got sidetracked. Was talking about something else. But, there's things that you think, but you don't say. Because if you say them, it just sounds all wrong and weird. And I think this is one of those times. Like, one of his key players, Latrell Wrightsell Jr., one of the best shooters in the conference, actually one of the best in the country, had missed some time because of a concussion or head injury. He missed about four games, and he missed the game versus Tennessee. And Nate Oates was talking after the game Saturday when they beat Arkansas, and said that we would have a league championship if he hadn't gone down. While he was talking, also said there's been some adversity that we've got to play through. We didn't win a league championship, so let's get ourselves back together and let's compete for a tournament championship. You can't just say that, Nate Oates, and pass it and think people ain't going to stop you. Hold on now. Uh-uh. You would have won a league championship if he wouldn't have gotten hurt. The team you lost to beat you by 20 and then came in your house and put their foot on your couch. What are you talking about, man? No, absolutely not. And it's not like you were down by a game or two.
Right.
Like, stop.
He is capping it up, is Nate Oates. I mean, the Latrell kid scored 2 points in Knoxville. He played in Knoxville. Scored 2 points, and he's not even, I mean, he has played well over the last month, but he's not even, I mean, he's their third or fourth best player at best. I mean, Mark Sears, Aaron Estrada, Ryland Griffin, I think those three players are definitely better than him. Grant Nelson might be better than him. What you're talking about, your fourth or fifth best player at best missing time, and that being the reason that you didn't win an SEC championship. I mean, Nate Oates, you know what happened? He thought he was talking about Latrell Sprewell. That's what happened. He thought he had Latrell Sprewell on his team. He had the wrong Alabama basketball player on his mind. He thought he was talking about Latrell Sprewell.
I guess,
and so. That is why Alabama didn't win the league, and it's I just don't, and Alabama fans are so delusional. in my group text with my Bama buddies. It got brought up yesterday. And this is how you know that Alabama fans are all about some Nate Oates, regardless of what he says, because boy, were they defending his honor. And it was, I mean, him not being available in a couple of games where he had the chance to win the regular season definitely don't help. Nate living rent free in Knoxville.
That's the win, huh? Is that the moral victory right there?
That's that Lady Vol moral victory.
That's the moral victory because Nate Oates said something dumb and people are talking about it, that Nate Oates is living in our minds, really? Ain't nobody thinking about Nate Oates' ass. Ain't nobody thinking about him. He made a stupid comment. It's being addressed. We're going to move on. And it will be in our back pockets. But living rent free, come on, man. Like, that's the most overused phrase. It is an attempt to try to get to try to win the conversation or win the debate, try to have an arguing point. Your team spit the bit. They're not tough enough. Nate Oates said this. Your team is soft. They're soft. Soft teams don't win SEC. All right, let's go back to the phone.
They said, should have beat y'all in Tuscaloosa.
Goodness gracious. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Turkey Man?
Hey, buddy. Hey, I don't know if you guys have seen the championship game of the ladies LSU in South Carolina. I did not see it, but I've seen the Donnybrook that took place. My question is, how many players, something like that happened, how many players will that affect in going forth in tournament play? Like, for instance, if that happened in football, I mean, it looked like they only had like four or five players per team left that didn't get ejected. Does that affect the next game they play? And that's what I was – that was direction. If that happened like an SEC tournament, men's or football, would you was playing in tournament, how many players would that affect the next game, if any? I didn't know if it did or didn't. I just thought I'd get your opinion on that because I thought it was something I hadn't seen, that many players on two different teams that got ejected or removed from a game at the end of the game. Anyhow, it's not just something you see every day, and I thought maybe you guys might have an opinion on it. I'll get out and listen to you.
All right. Thank you, Turkey Man. Yeah, Camilla Cardoso is going to miss the first round of the women's NCAA tournament for her actions. It was a report that everyone that got up was going to be suspended as well, but they came back and corrected that.
So why is she suspended?
Did you see her push Flossie Johnson to the ground?
She's suspended for a push?
To the ground, Ben.
I don't care. It's a push. She didn't punch her. A push is different than a punch.
That wasn't a normal push. That was in the same category as Uncle Phil and Jazzy Jeff. Like that was close. She kind of slid a little bit. There was some force behind that push.
I know. I don't look at that. I mean, I think an ejection was very fair, but I personally don't view that as one game suspension worthy. I guess it is what it is then.
What was brother doing? What was Flossie Johnson's brother doing? What were you doing, sir? Like
he got there and realized and was thinking the same thing.
Number one, all you did when you got there is what everybody else did, which was pull people apart. So now you've been in jail for pulling people apart. Number one. Number two, it wasn't like your sister was getting bullied by a dude. Like it's girls competing against each other. Now, yes, Camilla is 6'7". She pushed your sister, but she'll be okay. They're not going to let them fight and square off. Did they the alley? There's going to be people that come in and break it up and not let it go any further. I don't know what he was thinking because he was not thinking.
No, at all. He wasn't. And he was wondering what he was doing when he got out there to the court, too.
No, then he got there. He's like, oh, why am I out here? What am I doing?
He probably blacked out. He blacked out, and his instincts, right or wrong, took over.
I'm about to go to jail. You right about that? Hey man, so what you in here for? Yeah, man, I just stole a car. What about you? Yeah, I robbed a bank. What about you? Yeah, I had to beat up like three dudes. Yeah, man, I ran on the court, SEC women's tournament game. It's like that's just a weird reason to go to jail. But hey, man, natural instincts is to protect your family. I get that. But along the way of one of those steps towards the court, there should have been a thought like, I don't need to really go on the court. I need to fall back. But that never happened. Hunsucker says, got spin by half from the NCAA, then Dawn Staley went on to suspend her for the rest of the game. They're still going to beat down whoever they play. Anyways, Nathaniel says, Benjamin, she dang near tackled Flage. LOL, suspension is warranted. Single Vol says, did you say that the baloney competition was May the 18th? It matches up with UT baseball's season finale versus South Carolina that day. Hopefully, timing allow for both with different start times. Camden, Tennessee Vol says, chicken quarters competition, and I'm in the Elite Eight. I'm with you, Camden, Tennessee Vol. I am with you. I'm right there with you. Oh, man. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Right now, Hiller, enter to win Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes. All you have to do is go to the website. That is hillergoldenticket.com. And when you do that, you are automatically entered to win prizes that include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Take advantage of 0% interest financing for 48 months on select new HVAC systems or 36 months on tankless water heaters and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Go to the website again. You can enter the win by going to hillergoldenticket.com. Here in a couple of hours, it can be 24, 48, 72, 96. Ben McKee's going to have two kids. And so, man, send your blessings to the McKee family. And when you do that, man, send some bread. Blessings can't buy food. So we'll have to get Ben to throw out his cash app. I know he won't do it, but I'll try to get it from him. Oh, I do have it. And then I'll try to share it so that way folks that want to help out, because they're going to have two kids and no time to cook and just moved into a new house. And Ben is covering all these winning sports on campus. So I got the first meal for the McKees, Daddy and Barbecue. And if you can drop a meal here and there, that would be awesome. I know Jennifer Morris is going to come through for you. So yeah, I know you got two right there. So, man, it's been so cool to watch you grow, your family grow. And, you know, Swain Event's a big family. And so it's been awesome to see you grow. Proud of you. And, man, look forward to seeing the new McKee. We got a name yet?
Jalen.
Oh, Jalen. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Spelled very similar to yours, too.
There you go.
Jalen Thomas.
McKee. I love it. I love it, man. We're proud of you. 865-255-03. Ben, any baseball thoughts as Tennessee's entering conference play? Dean Curley recognized as freshman of the week. Real sharp player. Really good player starting off his career. Hot. Blake Burke getting over the fence a couple times. Billy Amick, oh my gosh, he ain't playing. right now. Chris Moore is in that new role as being a leader. Seems like this team is knows what they need to do, tighter, closer. But just overall thoughts of where Tennessee baseball is right now heading into conference play for Nelson.
Well, first, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. And T's and P's, thoughts and prayers are plenty enough. And my wife is the real trooper. She's very uncomfortable at the moment as she is as pregnant gets and is ready to pop this thing out. But she's still at work today and put it up with me and Knox, the little one, in the midst of a move. So she's the real trooper. Not me, but I do appreciate the kind words and the thoughts there. I want to see this pitching staff kind of get sorted out going into conference play. I know this lineup is going to hit, but if Tennessee is going to win what it wants to win this season, the pitching staff has to and not that it hasn't already, but I'm very interested to see how they get tested this weekend against Alabama. Once again, a top 15 Alabama team, according to some. D1 Baseball had them at number 14 yesterday in their rankings, and they've got some big-time arms that they're going to throw at Tennessee this weekend. So I am interested to see what the lineup does against those arms, but very interested to see what the pitching staff does against a pretty solid Alabama lineup as well. And need to get A.J. Russell back in the mix. I think there's a chance that he could pitch tonight against Eastern Kentucky. If not, then he'll certainly pitch in some capacity this weekend against Alabama. You've got Chris Stamos back in the mix as well. He could have pitched over the weekend, but they were still being a little cautious with him. So you're getting your pieces back. Kirby was banged up a little. Aaron Combs was banged up a little. But now you got to find roles for those different guys. Are you keeping A.J. Causey in that Friday starting role with Russell coming back? How do you use Russell right away because he's not going to be at his full pitch count? So do you slide him in to start on Sunday? Do you use him out of the bullpen? What do you do with Nate Snead? Do you continue to run him out of the bullpen? Do you continue to start Aaron Combs as he works his pitch count back up and knocks off the rust from not pitching quite a bit? So I think we're going to start to learn quite a bit about this Tennessee baseball team the next couple of weeks. And big time matchup on the road, start conference play. And that's my thought with Tennessee baseball right now is where is this pitching staff going to end up and how reliable is it going to be?
It's just the first series. We've seen this baseball team last year start slow and finish strong. And right now, Tennessee is starting hot. And here's the first conference game. So it's going to be a good one, man. It's a rival. It's Tennessee, Alabama. I don't care if Alabama's good or not, man. It's Tennessee, Alabama. I don't care what sport it is or not. I don't care. Zakai Ziegler, Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC, Dalton Connect, SEC Player of the Year. Kudos to those guys. Kudos to Jonas Adu for second team All-SEC. He has been very, very important to the success of this team. Blocking shots, he was great against Kentucky. Defensively blocking shots. I mean, Kentucky was blocking our shots all across the gym, but Jonas Adu was giving that same energy back to Kentucky single-handedly. He was the only guy blocking shots for Tennessee. So, man, it's time to recover, regroup, and get ready for this postseason run for Tennessee basketball. So, man, I'm fired up about this team. I love this team. It's tough to try to play after senior day festivities. It's tough. If you've been a Swain Event listener for years, you've heard me talk about this every time it's the end of the season. We play in Vanderbilt or Kentucky. It is tough. And the same thing happened with Tennessee basketball team, playing against a Kentucky team that's just as good right now as Tennessee, playing at a really, really high level. You cry your eyes out for 5 minutes and then you try to go play a basketball game. That's tough to do, man, in any sport. So, no excuse, but it is a reason for, I think, the slow start and the emotional start, something Rick Barnes referenced during his media availability. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Big thanks to everyone on the Beatty Chevrolet text box this morning. Some good stuff here. Beatty Chevrolet, BeattyChevrolet.com. Your one-stop shop. Parkside Drive is the location, the website, BeattyChevrolet.com. 90 years in business, folks. That's a long time to be in business. You know why? Because you're doing things the right way. You're taking care of people in the right way. So whether you want a Equinox or Blaze or Silverado, whatever fits your lifestyle, shop Beatty Chevrolet, where you can get a great deal on these vehicles. Always buy with confidence with the Beatty Chevrolet warranty for life. Again, shop Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive or online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Locally owned and operated for over 90 years, ladies and gentlemen. For the great Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and love, guys. We are out.